All right, well, good morning. If you got a Bible, if you'll grab it and turn to Psalm chapter 23. If you don't have one, we have, I think they're blue right in front of you. You can grab one of those. I'm excited about what the Lord has for us today, Psalm 23. I'm going to have some references today that as we get going, some of these are going to go right over your head. Some of them you're going to reflect back to times growing up, to movies and things like that. But here's what I want to see. Today, the 23rd Psalm is arguably the most famous in, I would argue, in the Bible. I didn't say understood, I said the most famous, and it's a scripture that has been referenced in pulp culture, excuse me, in movies, in songs, and here's a couple of them. As you're flipping to Psalm 23, I want to share a couple of these things with you. President George Bush cited part of the 23rd Psalm at the memorial for the September 11th attacks. Now, here's a couple of pop culture movie references. Some of them are going to go, whoosh. Some of them you're going to remember. Some of you younger ones are going to go like, I never heard of that before or that guy. Two artistic ones that come from this. In the movie Titanic, if you remember when, newsflash, it sinks. I don't want a spoiler. if you haven't seen it, sorry. As the ship is going down, if you remember, there's people panicking. They're all scrambling for the boats. And there's a scene in the movie where there's a priest on the ship, and he is citing the 23rd Psalm over. People are just scrambling, and they're going for it. This one, some of you guys, I grew up with some of these movies. John Wayne, Rooster Cogburn. I don't know if you've ever heard that. Some of you guys are going, who's that guy? Who's that John Wayne guy? There was a female character in the movie that had her dog was shot, and the movie clip goes to where she's citing it over and over as she's burying her dog. Clint Eastwood, in a movie called Pale Rider. Anybody ever heard of that one? Nobody? All right, okay. Pale Rider, there was some interplay for hope and doubting between this, that was the one where the girl got shot, the dog got shot. And the girl is citing this over as she's burying the puppy, and she says, he restores my soul, and then she says this, but they killed my dog. I will fear no evil, but I'm afraid. And there's songs in pop culture. Pink Floyd had a song called Sheep that had elements of this psalm in it. Now here it goes back to the 90s and some of this stuff, back with rappers named Coolio, Tupac, and a guy named Kanye West all have elements of this 23rd psalm in their music. I said it was famous. I didn't say it was understood. All of these pull from culture, pull from this text, and have elements. They're often misrepresented. Even those three rappers that I'm sure nobody's ever heard about, they lament in sadness over a call for social justice. The 23rd Psalm, you're going to find it. You go to funeral homes, if you've ever attended a service, it is something that is often recited, it is often read, it's often printed on every brochure that funeral chapels have. But here's the thing. That's not the only reason it was written for. It was written for life. We're going to see as we read it, and we're going to pray and walk through this. David wrote this at the end of his life, and he's reflecting back on the contentment and the provision of God. Now, that doesn't mean it's not right or it's not a timely place to use it when we face death, but it's not written for that specifically. So I want to read this, and I don't have a whole lot of points. We're going to walk through this together, and we're going to see some beautiful truths of our God and his provision and his watch care over us. But let's read it. Psalm chapter 23. Let's read the verses. I'll pray, and then we'll walk through this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the things you've taught me personally in preparation for this sermon. I pray today that we don't just approach this text as we often gaze upon funerals and death, but we approach it as a reflection of life and looking at your watch care, provision, and providence over our life. Holy Spirit, would you move in this place today? Would you settle us down? Would you open our hearts? Would you peel back layers of our hearts that we would receive your word as we look at your character and how we too, just as David reflects, can be content, can be satisfied in you and in you alone. And we ask it in the great name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Context matters. It helps us to kind of walk through a little bit. I said this psalm is not a psalm of death. It is a psalm of trust. It is a psalm of confidence. And David wrote this, as I said, reflecting on his life. As you get to the latter stages of your life, which so many people do in conversations, and they look back, and they see, I remember what I went through. I remember that hard time. I remember that valley. We'll get to that in just a minute. I remember that struggle. And yes, even death. I remember that the Lord was faithful in all those times, and he writes this down. And if you're with us for the first time today, we've seen these psalms, as this summer in the psalms, we've seen that psalms are a beautiful depiction of a public and private. These were written to be read in temple worship. So in a service just like this, the priest would stand up and he would read this, and it would be an attitude and an element of worship and praise for God. David writes this as he reflects. This warrior king and this poet and lover. I love this dichotomy of David. He found contentment and joy and satisfaction. It's divided into two parts. We're going to see this personal experience. We're going to see this description of a shepherd. And we're going to see this description of the Lord as a host. And let's walk through this together. Look at verse 1. You'll see elements of sheep and shepherd. Look at verse 1 and we'll talk about it. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. To say, this goes without saying, I hope, but to say that the Lord is his shepherd, that David is referring to himself, let's see if we're listening, appreciate both of you, yes, all right. He's referring to himself as a sheep. But here's the thing, sheep is not a flattering reference. Sheep is not something that you think, thank you, David, that's awesome, I'm a sheep. Sheep were not very smart. They would get in all kinds of trouble. They would wander. They were helpless. There's no such thing as a wild sheep. A wild sheep is known as a dead sheep. You don't go off and do your own thing. If you don't have the watch care provision of a shepherd, a sheep will die. But I love this because right off the bat, look at the context. David is reflecting back and he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd and I'm not going to want. You see, sheep can stray, they're utterly dependent, and David says, you are my shepherd, and he sees this very beginning phrase of a comprehensive care of God over his life. And he ends that verse, that first sentence, by saying, not only am I a sheep, and he is my shepherd, he provides for me, he takes care of me, he sustains me, my betterment is his most priority, he says at the end, I shall not want. You've recited that probably. You probably have that memorized. But what does that even mean to say that I am a dumb sheep that is desperate for the shepherd, and in that moment I can say that I do not want. I don't lack for anything. What a beautiful truth that we can see this morning, that David says, when I understand that I am under the shepherd's care, the shepherd's watch, the shepherd's provision, that I lack nothing. Do you see the contentment there? Do you see David realizing that he is under the shepherd's authority, under his provision, and he says, I don't lack anything. Amen. Yes. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you believe in your heart that you are a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, is that a declaration that you can say? Because as I study that, even in my office this week, I know it's been the craziness of vacation Bible school, and we're singing songs to these kids about this vast, glorious, big, huge God that loves them so much. But I wonder how many times we can look at our lives and say, God, you're my shepherd. I'm the sheep. I don't need anything else. And if you've been with us through any of this sermon series at all, you understand that there are struggles we're going to go through. There are pains that we're going to go through. David himself reflected back on those things, and that he wrote other psalms when he says, God, where are you? What's going on? And as he reflects back, he says, I'm content and I'm satisfied. I'm a silly, stupid sheep that cannot take care of himself. But you know what? If I know that the shepherd's taking care of me, I'm okay. I pray, let me look at you. I pray that I, and I pray that we, that that could be the desperate, dependent relationship. That is not just saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he exists, and I want to go to heaven when I die. That is saying, God, I've got nothing. I lack nothing when I have you. Look at the provision of verse 2. Let's keep going. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. We're going to see in these first three verses the watch care of the shepherd over the sheep. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. A couple of things. As I was, some of this I knew, some of it I didn't. As I was studying this, it was just fascinated. That the green pastures here is talking about the fertile feeding ground. And sheep, if they're anxious, anybody been anxious? Don't raise your hand, but you ever have stresses, anxieties, and you don't know what to do? You ever skipped a meal because you're so stressed out? Sheep will not even eat if they're worried or they're anxious. So the shepherd would want to lead them to a green pasture that was protected for them. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And they could eat without stress. They would potentially die and not eat or wander into the infertile, not the green grass, out to the weeds. Things that aren't good for them if the shepherd didn't provide this green pasture, this fertile feeding ground. If they're fearful, they won't eat. And David is looking back on his life, and he's describing himself as a sheep, catch this, that is at peace. Believer, are you at peace? Because here's what's going to happen. Anxieties will come. Fears will come. Tragedies will happen, and things will happen that will rock your world. We've said this before, things that you would not wish on your worst enemy, things that are going to happen, and you and I, we're going to look for something to settle us down. And David has been through the ringer. He's been through lots of things. He's been chased. He's been tried to be killed. He's hidden in caves. He's had the Bathsheba incident. He has done a lot of things, and he's looking back across his life, and he's saying, my shepherd, he makes me, he allows me, he leads me to green pastures where I can feed, I can be peaceful, and I can be nourished, and I can be at peace and rest. Amen. Yes. Not stressed out, not looking over your shoulder, not worried, not doubting. Now, those are those elements of real life that come crashing in on us. But look at the still waters. He says he leads me to still waters, and this is talking about not just for drinking, but for safety. Sheep won't drink, you probably already knew this, but sheep will not drink from flowing, moving water because they're skittish and they are potentially going to drown. So what a shepherd would do, catch this, imagine your anxiety, imagine your stress. What a shepherd would do, a shepherd would go find the flowing water, and he would sometimes use his staff or his rod, which we'll get to that in just a minute, and he would sometimes, as flowing waters move, he would dig a trench, and he would dig it, and he would make a little hole that was a very nice, calm, still place for the sheep to come. The Lord provided for those sheep to get away from the tragedies and the chaos of life, and there were times when the shepherd would carefully lead them. Even if he had to make his own little trench, he would lead them to a still water so that they would not die, so that they would be provided for, and that they could drink. Don't raise your hand this morning. I say that you can do it if you want to, but is there anybody in here that could use a little peace in their life? Is there anybody in this room that could look around and you see the chaos of life, and you see tragedies, you see death, you see the things that are going on all around us in our communities and in the world, and you think, as a believer, I just want to find some peace. I just want to find some contentment. You see, we read this, and you may have this memorized, but as I was reading this, I thought to myself this week, as I watched all these kids running around at VBS, and I thought, that 23rd Psalm, that pop culture will use, that it'll be recited, and I bet the majority could even memorize that, but I missed it. It's more than just death and funerals. That David is saying, the sovereign shepherd is taking care of you, he is providing for you. There's peace, there's provision, and there's direction. Is there anybody that could use that this morning? Because I sure could. I know what you're saying. You're probably, David, but what about when things bad get, or what happened when circumstances? We'll get to that in just a minute. But look at verse 3. Look at the context here. We see this diligent, watchful care to green pastures and still waters. And verse 3 says, he restores my soul, and he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Literally, you could translate verse 3 about restoring your soul. It literally could be translated and say, he gives me my life back. Now, this may not resonate with you, but have you ever wandered from God? You ever done something or chosen things in this life that has pulled you from God, and you found yourself outside of the will of God? I have. David gets to the point, and he looks at this, and he says, basically, the Lord, yes, he lies in green pastures and still waters, but he said, the Lord literally gives me my life back, and he leads me back to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is a picture of sheep that have wandered off. I told you sheep weren't that smart, and I'm not going to say you're not that smart, but I'm going to speak to myself, that there are times recently and in the past of my life that I have wandered and pursued things out of stupidity, out of pride, out of arrogance, and I thought, David wants that. David knows what David needs, right? And I've wandered, and I can't help but look at this, and I can't help but think, I wonder if David is reflecting back to the Bathsheba. When he chose a relationship that was outside the will and brought destruction and chaos and calamity. But God brought him back. As David brought shame on himself, shame on his nation. And David hid for over a year, harboring guilt and shame. And as he reflects back on this, this is what I'm trying to get across this morning. That this is more than just a funeral text. That David is reflecting back on his life and he's seeing the shame. He's seeing the bad decisions and he says, I've wandered, but the shepherd, church, hear this, the shepherd has restored and he gave me my life back. That preaches to me and I hope it'll settle on you because this is a picture of Luke 15. You know the story when Jesus describes himself of leaving the 99 and going after the one. You know who doesn't really complain about leaving the 99? The one. And I could, that's a whole nother sermon for another day, but every one of us have been or will be, hopefully, the one that the shepherd is going back into the fold. And we can say what David says, God, you chased me down, and though I wandered and I pursued other things, you gave me my life back. You led me back to the path of righteousness for your name's, for your done. I've made bad choices. I've been discontent. I've pursued other things. And for those that have done that, for those who have lived in sin and chosen other things, that God chases us down, a picture of a shepherd pursuing us and bringing us back into the fold. And maybe for you, in your pain, whatever it could be, and in your brokenness, whatever that could be, because some of you, and I've talked to friends that are at bigger churches, and here's the thing, let me just talk to you really directly. I'm going to push pause for just a minute. You know one of the hardest things of preaching in small towns are? Everybody knows everybody's business. Do you know what the big church guys have a luxury of doing? They can say whatever to whoever, and they don't know anybody's business. Did I say business? I meant to say clearly, business is what I meant to say. But here's the thing, some of you, friends and close ones, that I've seen that pain. You've walked through tragedies. You've been through things you would not wish, and you've seen this, and you have moments where some of you right now are thinking, I need the Lord to restore, give me my life back. And some of you can look back and say, I was chasing and going after all kinds of garbage and the things of the world, but the beautiful shepherd, the good shepherd, came back, and he led me back to the paths of righteousness. And like I said a while ago, you're probably thinking, David, but what if things happen? Because you see this beautiful picture in verses 1 and 3 of the watchful, diligent, loving care of the shepherd. And David says, I'm a dumb sheep. God is good. God is sovereign. God cares for me. He protects me. He pursued me. He feeds me. And he even sustains me. I am helpless without him. He leads me to still waters, releases the anxiety and the fear for my betterment, to a life of peace and calmness and trust in his provision. But David, what about my pain? What about my struggles? You don't know what I'm going through. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this valley of the shadow of death. Though it sounds really cool and hip, and it can be, and so many musical artists have thrown that into their song and they've missed it. It's not talking about just death. It's not talking about it. It's talking literally translated to the deepest, darkest valley. Anybody got any valleys they've been in? Now, this is not the most popular thing to say from the stage, but if you're not in a valley, there's going to be one down the road. We live in a Genesis 3 world. We live in a world where people die and people get sick. We live in a world where disease and destruction are upon us, where chaos runs rampant. We live in a place where decisions can lead to those things. And some of you church and friends may be in a valley right now. David says, even though I walk through that valley, even that deepest, darkest valley, he's talking about when shepherds, catch this context, he says, it's about when shepherds would lead sheep from the mountaintop and they would lead them through a valley to the fields. Now, what would happen in those fields, from the mountaintop to the fields, where there were valleys, and sometimes as the sun would begin to go down, they were dark, and that's where robbers and thieves and predators would hide. And so there's this picture of the shepherd leading them down, catch him, he's with them, leading them from the mountain to the valley, with them the whole way through it. But there's this place, this valley that is dark, that can be devastating and be cruel. And David says, even though I'm going to walk through it, I won't fear. But look at your Bibles. Why does he say I won't fear? He doesn't say I'm not going to fear because I'm going to go around it. What does your Bible say? He says, I will not fear because why? You are with me. It's not even Christmas. Can I tell you something? Emmanuel, God with us, is with us. Anybody need God to walk you through that valley right now? Uncertain times, dark times, questioning where God's at, dangerous, unknown, and a picture of the shepherd walking these sheep, and he's with them. David says two things. He says, your rod and your staff protect me. Here's a couple things. You probably already know this, but if not, I think this stuff's fascinating. He says, the rod. The rod was a short, like a club, and that thing was used. The shepherd would hold a staff, and he would hold a club, and the club was used for protection. They would even train that. Young boys as shepherds, you remember the story of David and Goliath when we think, how did he learn to throw those things and protect him? And you hear stories in Samuel about choosing David to go fight Goliath, and he said, basically, I used to fight bears and lions. Young boys would learn how to be shepherds, and they would practice throwing these to fight off animals and fight off other people. And so I love this because here, look at the watch care. This is, again, it's not about just for preaching at funerals. He says that the rod is something that protects the sheep from predators and from danger. It's a picture of the shepherd that is willing to go toe-to-toe with any threat. Can I ask you something? Does anybody need the Lord to go toe-to-toe? Does it encourage you to know that God is a fighter for you? And maybe you're sleeping through this morning, but maybe this floats your boat. Maybe I spit and get excited and sweat a little bit. But when I look at this and I think about those valleys and you think about that thing that you're in or you think about that thing that's coming down the road, I love the picture that David paints of a shepherd. He's got a rod and he's going to protect it. He's going to fight for us. He's going to fend off danger. And I can see this whole picture of threats, all the despair, all the circumstances and the pains and the trials that you have been or will go through. And the shepherd would rescue them. The shepherd would fight off danger. The shepherd also carried a staff. In those times, that's what was used to guide them, to nudge them along. And it wasn't just to show direction, but you know what the sheep needed? The sheep sometimes simply needed the reminder that the shepherd was there. Now just, would you let that just press on you, just on your heart a little bit? I don't know what valley or if that valley's coming soon. I know those that are in the valley right now. And I can't tell you how many times it is a true blessing to know that I do not go through the valley alone. That the shepherd is with me He is protecting me, and he is guiding me. And there are those moments where David goes over here, and the Lord goes, and sometimes he hits me really hard and comes back. And what he's doing is he's leading you back to the path of righteousness. It's more than just an analogy. He's leading you back to the path of righteousness. David, you're wandering. Get over here. That's not good for you. Get back over here. Sometimes I need to get hit in the head a little bit harder than that. And sometimes he's navigating us through this life, through this valley, and we're walking through this pain and these trials. And sometimes he'll bring other people, other sheep along. Other sheep are going to come with us, and we're going to look to our right and our left. We're going to see sheep going through this valley together, and we're going to go through this hard time. And the shepherd is constantly affirming and letting the sheep know that I am with you. Before we get to verse 4, I want you to notice this, something that I think is beautiful. Look at the language. I'm going to read through verses 1 through 3. Look at the language here. Something fascinating is about to shift in a language. In verses 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me to the path of righteousness." And then you get to verse 4, and it says, "And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you." No more he, but you. He says, you. We see this beautiful picture here because the language changes. It changes from third person to a first and second person. We see this beautiful picture here. He says, now you are with me. Your rod, it's not his rod, his staff. It's your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Now let me get right up all over you this morning, because here's the thing. You go through pains, and I've been through pains, and you know what happens? All of a sudden in those dark valleys, he becomes you. No more abstract. Look right at me. This is important stuff. No more abstract theology. No more abstract that I believe that God is out there. He's great. He's magnificent. He's wonderful. No, you lead me. You guide me. I can tell you stories. Craig preached a while back, and he shared about those moments of just being frustrated. And when he did Psalm 145 and Psalm 13, and David in these six verses goes from he to, it's no more he, it's got you. I've had conversations, and I've been through my own valleys, those deep, dark places. All of a sudden, this abstract theology of things you were growing up and you learned as stories and Bible verses, all of a sudden, it's personal and it is real. Verse 4, that subtle change about you. Some of you this morning may be going through that. I know people in our town are, and maybe the Lord's going to walk them through this valley, and they're going to go from a he to a you, because there's a beautiful thing about pain. There's a beautiful thing about hard times. God can reveal himself in ways we can never see. I can't imagine walking through pain and some of the things that I've been through or things that are going to come. And I'm going to say this. I can't imagine families like the Smiths who lost Landon. Churches like this one that lost a deacon, a friend, a lifetime companion, to not have hope. So we talk about the valley. We think about the valley. We think about those things. Those valleys are happening, and they are real. There are people in our lives, just like Brilly talked about, when she talked about those that have a name, that are in those valleys, that need people to come alongside them and say, I understand the pain that you're in, but let me tell you about how I'm getting through it. It's not he, all of a sudden that he turns into you. It's first person. It is intimate. It's not abstract. I can't imagine going through life. I can't imagine going through pain. Look at verse 5. David shifts metaphors here as we kind of tie these loose ends together. He shifts metaphors from a shepherd, and I was going to go to a host. The same theme, same idea, same point. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as David shifts metaphors, he's still preaching the same or still writing the same thing here. He's talking about being a privileged guest. Anointed with oil is a sign of blessing. It's a sign of favor. And he describes the cup, not just half full or half empty, depending on your perspective. He describes the cup as what? Overflowing. The Lord's provision, the host of the provision of life, is overflowing. To sit at the Lord's table is to be assured of nourishment, of food, of housing, of fellowship, of protection, and the cup is overflowing. But what happens when we are not content, we look for other things, we want to buy things, pursue wrong relationships, and we find ourselves in these moments where we're trying to be happy and content because we're trying to find it in something else or someone else. And sometimes, I know I can't, I say this, but maybe about you, I find myself in those valleys because of the decisions that I've made. You know what I love about the shepherd? He doesn't say, hey, David, that's on you. You got yourself out of there, in there, you get yourself out. You know what happens? No, the good shepherd comes with his rod in one hand and the shepherd, and he protects me and he fights for me, and he will nudge me and guide me back to the path of righteousness so that I could be with him and know him. I love that truth about the scriptures. Contentment is not found in what you don't have. It's found in Jesus. He puts the fullness of his care, his compassion, and his provision. It's all this. But as I close with this, I want to ask you something. This may sound a little weird, so don't throw your Bibles at me. What if I told you this? What if I told you that you could experience the depth of David's psalm in a deeper way than he could? Would that be a curveball for you? Would that throw you off a little bit? If I said, hey, you could experience the depth of David's contentment and joy and satisfaction, the provision of God, in a deeper way than David could. You might be asking how or why, because here's the beautiful truth. Because God has put the fullness of his care, the fullness of his compassion, and the fullness of his provision over all of us on display in Jesus. Because ultimately, Jesus is the one David is writing about. Jesus actually later takes on the place, takes on the title of the Good Shepherd. He is so bold to take that name himself. And I do have this on the screen. Look at this in John chapter 10. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lay down his life for sheep. Can I tell you something? If a shepherd dies, the sheep are gone. They're toast or lunch for animals. They're gone. They're going to fall off in the moving waters, going to do whatever. But here's the beautiful truth. When the good shepherd says he's going to die for his sheep, look at this. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. A hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. Verse 13 says, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And listen to this change, because as Jesus is saying this to the disciples, they understood what it meant. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, knew that our biggest problem, our biggest struggle, and our biggest issue is us. And to save us from us, he came. To save us from our sins, he came. To save us from the chaos of death and destruction and all the things that are resulted from a Genesis 3 world where sin has fractured it all, he came as Jesus to pay a ransom for your sin and mine. And he promised us his Holy Spirit that was going to come. And the Holy Spirit indwells those that give their life to Jesus. And not only do we have, I'm going to get excited, but it's okay. Not only do we have a nudge of the shepherd, we've got the Holy Spirit compelling us. Zane spoke about it in his testimony. Holy Spirit told him something. He felt a little nudge here, a little nudge there. Now, oftentimes we just kind of, okay, cool, awesome. But I want to echo what Craig said. That's why it's neat to hear from kids. They're passionate. They're excited. And to hear dreams and those kind of things happen. And the Lord speaking to them, that is a beautiful truth that we have. The Holy Spirit, we've got the Good Shepherd guiding us. He came. He died. We got the Holy Spirit. God himself is in us to navigate us through this life in church and friends, through those deep, dark valleys that we really don't want to go through. Is that a God that you want to pursue and that you love? Because he sure loves you. And some of your friends are out there and you've wandered. I'm not calling you a stupid sheep. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to say this for my life. Some of us are out there pursuing things and we're wandering after stuff to try to be content and be happy. And some of us are choosing sin and we're choosing stuff that's not of God. And we're in these places. And some of us are in these valleys of pain and destruction. And we're just wondering where God's at. And David, after he goes through all this stuff, he looks back on his life and says, he was there. He led me to this. He led me here. He dug a trench for still waters. I'm on the green pasture. All these beautiful truths of God's contentment, our contentment with God's protection and providence over us. Everybody are the sheep of God. Jesus speaks later in the Bible that says that not everybody are his sheep. He says, my sheep know me, my sheep know my voice. My sheep follow me. My sheep are going to hear my voice, and they're going to follow. Is God your shepherd? I didn't ask if you prayed a prayer. I didn't ask if you got baptized. I said, is God your shepherd? Do I put myself under the watchful care and provision of the shepherd? And I know that no matter what I go through, around the corner, through those valleys, or right now, that God is there to fight for me, that God is there to navigate through this, protect me. And ultimately, I will not fear. I will not doubt. Why? Not because of anything that I bring to the table, because David says, I will not fear because you are with me. Fear nothing else. That's all I want you to hear. No matter what you're going through, whatever people around you are going through, there's not a lot of things we can say that are going to make people feel better or yourself feel better. But the thing that we can cling to is to say that no matter what it is, that the promise of God ring true, a man that's sitting in caves for a year that's done a lot of bad things, but he was a man after God's own heart, said this. He says that my God, he pursues and he comes after the sheep, even if it's just one. But my sheep know my voice and they follow. So to say that we are one of the sheep of the shepherd is to say, I follow, I listen, he hears me, and I hear him. It's a relationship. It sounds kitschy and cliche because we say that all the time. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. That's what this is about. Having a relationship with the God-man who stepped out of heaven and he came to be the good shepherd. I don't know where you're at this morning, and as I close, we're going to pray and then stand and sing a song. Here's what I really want you to do. You can put your Bibles up and Travis and the praise team are going to come up, but here's what I'd like for you to do. Are you in a valley? Did you need to be simply reminded that there is a God out there that loves you that much? Now look at me. Some of you, maybe you're wandering off because you're pursuing stuff, just trying to get through this life. And some of you are in lifestyles of things you don't need to be in. And the Lord wants you to come back. He's going to nudge and guide you. He came and he died for you, for all sins of all men. It would be a complete catastrophe if we just left the same. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want you to pray. That's what we do at the last couple of services. Just pray. Whether you're in a valley, whether you're wandering, whether you just need to be reminded of the contentment that we can have in Jesus, would you just talk to the Lord, let him speak to you? And then we're simply going to stand and sing a song in just a minute. You pray.